This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday. On Sports Radio 610, here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're In the Loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, I don't expect much. I don't ask for much. But I just have one wish, one request from the Houston Texans. Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Jim Mudd holding it down for Figgy Fig. Football Friday, the eve of one of the best football weekends of the year. For sure the best college football Saturday of the year. Not asking for much. I'm not asking for a major transaction. I'm not asking for anything extreme. All I'm asking for is a break on Sunday from the Houston Texans, Smitty.
A break.
A break.
And please divulge. Please break down what kind of break that you need from the Houston Texans.
The injury report the last 2 days has had David Johnson on it. It has said illness by David Johnson. He does not have COVID. It is not believed to be serious. I'm not wishing David Johnson to get hurt. I'm not wishing David Johnson to be sick. I'm not even wishing David Johnson to lose his job. I just want a break for my eyes and for my sanity. I'm not asking for a win. Hell, I'm not even asking for a cover. I am just asking for David Johnson, don't be a hero. Take some time off so I do not have to watch number 31 play football on Sunday. You can put him back on the field afterwards. Do what you got to do. But I just want, start my December off right. Give me a little bit of an early Christmas gift, a stocking stuffer, if you will. I just want a break from having to watch the reminder of the worst trade in the history of the NFL and a guy who, for whatever reason, represents a lot of the frustration that people have with this organization. I'm not asking for much. Just give him the sweats and give me a break from watching 31.
I tell you what, Landry, you're not the type of guy that's, you know, needy and ask for a lot of things all the time. So I think this is a pretty reasonable request.
Just a break.
Just a little break. Just, hey, don't rush yourself back. Give these other guys an opportunity. Maybe Royce Freeman can get, you know, maybe 5 to 10 carries in a ball game. Maybe we can see if he has anything left in the tank, or Rex Burkhead, the guy that I said needs to get the ball more on this roster. Give those guys an opportunity to play. Maybe there's somebody, you know, maybe Scotty Phillips can get some carries or something.
He's
like that.
He's got to wait till Seattle because he's on the IR. So
he's still on the IR.
Yeah, we got to wait till next Sunday for Scotty against those Seattle Seahawks.
Anyway, you slice it, I feel like that's a reasonable request. There's a lot of things that come out of your mouth that are unreasonable. A lot of things that you say that can raise some eyebrows. This one, I don't have any problem with that at all.
I just think the people deserve a break. It is hard. It is hard, hard, hard GD work. To quote Billy Hoyle and White Men Can't Jump.
Billy Hope.
It is hard to watch David Johnson play football. It's really, really hard. And there's a lot of Texans fans that are married to the game. We're in this together. Shout out to you. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Football Friday. Just give my mind, give my eyes a break from watching number 31 attempt to tote that rock. That's all I'm asking.
I tell you what, when I was watching him play last week, it seemed like after every carry, he was limping to the sideline. He needs a week off. Sickness or not, I think he needs a week himself. I think he needs to let his body recover. Maybe he can go from averaging, 2.7 yards per carry to like 3.4 when he gets back.
Just give him a break.
Give him a little break.
That's all I'm asking.
He might need it himself.
That's all I'm asking. Justin Reed, he's going to be on the field Sunday. He served his time. That's not my words. That's David Culley's words. He met with the media yesterday. And I want you to hear what Justin Reed said, because it's been said by David Culley that a rule was violated and there's a standard that they have that Justin Reed didn't live up to, which is why he was the latest guy, Texan, member of the Texans, inactive on game day. Here was what Justin Reed had to say to the media types, Mark Berman specifically, about why he didn't play last Sunday.
Yeah, what's happened, happened. Got a difference of opinion, and we're putting it behind us. You know what I mean? So I always pride myself on my professionalism. He is a professional as all, and these things happen in locker rooms. We're going to put our best foot forward and go win the next game.
Okay, disagreement and these things happen. This just doesn't seem like I know that everything's cool and you kind of put it to the side, but this just doesn't seem like a guy who believes that he violated some rule. This seems like a guy who is just accepting the fact that the Texans, for whatever reason, they decided they were going to enforce a gray area that they didn't agree with. Justin Reed does not sound like a guy that feels like he violated a rule. It's almost just like, let's just put it aside. Let's get through the rest of the season and let's just see where we can go from here. That's how I took it. That was not, I don't think he thinks he violated a rule.
100%. Like there was nothing in what he said immediately after he was found out to be deactivated for the game that led me to believe that he felt like he did anything wrong. These comments that he just made yesterday, same thing, like, hey, and I think anybody out there listening can relate to this. Sometimes your boss makes decisions that you completely don't agree with. Sometimes you get in trouble for something that you didn't do or something that you feel is unreasonable. You're not going to feel guilty about the fact that the decision was made. The decision was made, and so you have to reap the consequences of it. But at the end of the day, there's nothing that you can look in the mirror and say, you know what, I was wrong about this, and so I need to be contrite in my words and all that type of stuff. He's like, hey, it is what it is. They wanted to sit me down. They set me down. I'm back this week. I'm going to go out there and play. He's going to be a professional. I'm sure he probably feels some type of way about it, the fact that he got set down. But he's not going to let that deter and change the way he approaches this week or any week going forward. Wait, that's that part of him being a pro.
Smitty in for John Lopez, Football Friday here on Sports Radio 610. It's also interesting. I'm hearing like conspiracy theories and I'm reading them on the 610 Loopholes Facebook page, et cetera. Like maybe the Texans are kind of, there's like a cover your ass element to some of these disciplinary actions that they're putting out there. And by that, I mean, if you put out the picture or you at least present the narrative that guys like Zach Cunningham or guys like Justin Reed don't abide by their standards or their rules, that maybe that kind of makes you feel like validated in what you're doing. And that like Jack Easterby or whoever is like overseeing this culture, if you can accuse guys who were here before of not fitting the culture that you want, then maybe it kind of like moves away the attention to what's going on down there. If that makes sense.
I guess it makes sense. That doesn't compute in my head. For me, it sounds like something to where it's like, hey, there's the good football players on this team. They did things differently before we got here. We're trying to change the way things are done. So you have to make examples out of the good football players on the team so that everybody else will have to fall in line as well. Now, is the examples that they're trying to make out of them, or the rules and the standards, that are they reasonable? Who the hell knows? I'm not in the locker room, so I don't know what these particular rules are, what these standards are that they're trying to do uphold. But I do understand that when you're a new regime coming into a building, you have to kind of lay down the law and let it be known how we're going to do things going forward. So that part makes sense to me. Now, is it reasonable, the actual specific things that they're getting upset about and forcing guys to sit down about? Who the hell knows? You'd have to ask the people that once they leave the building and it doesn't affect them any further, what they say or do. And it seems like for the most part, when guys leave the building, there's a sentiment that what's going on in the building doesn't make any sense. There's a cloud, there's all of these negative connotations. But, you know, as far as the way that you try to put it out there, that they're using it to, like, cover up and try to validate some of the stuff they're doing, I guess you can say I don't know
if it's cover up, validate, anything like that. I think it's over-romanticized. I don't want to use the word conniving. I think it's symbolic of some of, like, the stuff that they maybe value that I don't think matters as much, that I think a lot of good organizations would maybe let slide. Like, I think if Darius Leonard did what Justin Reed did, I think that we wouldn't hear about it, and Darius 100%. Leonard would be fine, and they would keep it in house.
And you know what?
And he would be on the field Sunday.
So a lot of it, of course, and I think a lot of it has to do with the way Bill O'Brien, what he became and what he was when he first got here. So, like, when Bill O'Brien first got here, I'm sure there was different instances of him laying down the law and taking all the pictures off the wall and all that type of stuff to kind of let it be known that things are different. But then as time went on, there's certain players on the team that they would let things slide. Like, if DeAndre Hopkins did something, they would let that slide because it's DeAndre Hopkins, yeah, or JJ or whoever it may be, don't let it slide. Whereas nowadays, it's like, you know, the best players on the team are the ones that's quote unquote getting in trouble. And part of that is because they're letting it be known that this Patriot way, the way things that they do in New England, they don't let that stuff slide. I don't care who you are, anybody can get it. Like Tom Brady, he never got suspended, but he definitely got dressed down in front of the group because that's Bill Belichick and that's the way he does things. And nobody is more important or above the team, that whole mentality. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that per se. It's just hard to implement that when you're away from that environment and with the people that you have in place trying to implement.
And it also is early. So look, like, I don't know if this is going to be the case 2 years from now, 3 years from now, when hopefully the talent gets better, you get your coach in. So that's why I always think you kind of have to have the knowledge that this is where they are in the process and they're not where the Colts are with Darius Leonard, et cetera. So you do try to be fair to them when that's going on. But it's hard for me with Easterby still in the building. It's just hard for me to move on almost with all the past stuff and when the guy is overseeing the culture, it's hard to move past it. It's hard to give the benefit of the doubt. I think that's why there's a lot more empty seats even at this point in the process than you would expect. I think that's why there's a lot more apathy, is because there is a feeling that as much as they say that they're trying to change things, it seems like kind of more of the same. It really just seems like a snowball, like a downhill, like just snowball of 2019 to now. It doesn't seem like a fresh start. It seems like it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse from when Easterby got here in 2019 to now. It really doesn't seem like there was like timeout, let's restart. It doesn't feel that way to many people.
Well, yeah, because most of the people that were part of the downfall of the Houston Texans got let go, but not everybody did.
Yeah.
And so then
one got a promotion.
Right. Like a key member of that, Jack Easterby, is still in the building.
The guy who got here when everything got bad.
Right. So when you talk about accountability, you're talking about, you know, okay, if it's accountability, if I'm part of something going wrong, when it's time to let people go, I should be one of them as well. That's the part that, if you're a player that was here before the switchover, it's hard for you to fully buy in if you're even looking at that. My whole deal with it is, as a player, there's things above your head that you really shouldn't even concern yourself with. And that, to me, that's the biggest thing. Now, it's one thing if maybe he's, you know, in their faces every day and it might make it harder for you to do, but guys that are upstairs. Guys that have nothing to do with me getting this three technique block, I don't care about. They have nothing to do with, you know, what we're trying to get done on a day-to-day basis. And so that's the part that I would, you know, try to, you know, impart to the guys on the team, that, like, who the hell cares about what's going on upstairs? Like, you worry about that in the off season. You don't worry about that right now. You're trying to figure out how to get guys blocked. I'm watching the offensive line just make a mockery of the position, but just some of the dumb stuff they do out there. That's the part, you know, guys really
need
to focus
on. That's the player's perspective.
Right.
I'm not asking players to have my perspective. I'm just saying, like, it seems like when I see Zach Cunningham, who led the league in tackles very recently, and I see Justin Reed getting in trouble, it seems like you're trying to put out some sort of, like, perception
that these guys are why we are where we are. And that's not the reality. I think the biggest reason why we are where we are is the guy at the very top who's overseeing this whole culture thing. But it seems like there's like this, like this notion, this narrative that, oh, we got to clear things out. No, we needed to clear the biggest thing we need to clear out is still there helping make these decisions. That's the problem from my perspective. I don't expect a player to care about that, but that's hard. It's hard for me to see Justin Reed and Zach Cunningham getting punished. And the biggest change that needed to be made is the one making these changes.
Yeah. Look at it like this. The players are the ones that are getting, they're the ones that are getting punished. They're the ones that are getting in trouble. They're the ones that are getting examples made out of them. And so if they're the ones that are getting the backlash from it or whatever, there's the one on the front line. Those are the ones to me that are most important. They're the ones that provide the product on the field. They're going to determine if the fans are happy leaving the game or not. Because if the players win, nobody gives them what goes on in the front office. They'll just be like, they're doing a good job.
Yeah. But they got to do a good job in the front office to win too.
No, 100%. Right now, they don't have enough good players for you to win.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't.
Yeah.
You don't. And they need to get more good players in the building, one, which is Captain Obvious. But then also you need to make sure that the players that you have in the building, the players that you bring in the building, mesh into whatever your vision is of what the team's going to be. And as far as your scheme and everything that you put, everything's got to line up. And right now, that's not the case. They don't, like, a lot of the stuff they do with their scheme, a lot of stuff that they do, the culture that they're trying to create, you can tell that it's not working, or it's not in a place that it needs to be for them to have more success. And like you said earlier, it's early in the process, so you don't expect it to just work off the bat. But you want to start seeing some inroads and seeing some positive things coming from it, and it's kind of hard to find when you're outside the building.
The most important step in the process is not on Sunday. It's actually tomorrow. We will lay out the ideal scenario for tomorrow's college football action. And Wade Smith, he's not mad at me, but he's disappointed. Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Brian Kelly's being accused of going Jack Easterby and Travis Kelce. Is he being treated fairly? We'll get into that. 10:35, Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Big day tomorrow in college football. Really a big day for the Texans. Nick Caserio, I'm hoping that he's sending his squad out there, his team of scouts. Shout out to Scout Goodhair, James Lipford, and Matt Bazergang. It's a stacked college football Saturday tomorrow. Hell, you can get a look at Kayvon Thibodeau today, who could be a top two pick against Utah. But you're going to have the Big 12 championship, the SEC championship, the American championship with the Cougs in Cincinnati, and then you're going to have Michigan versus Iowa. It is going to be a very enjoyable day. It's going to be a either get out to a sports bar or post up on the couch type of day. It's going to be an important day for the Houston Texans. It's also going to be a day in which I am hoping that the Cougs can pull off this upset. Not necessarily because I'm my loyalty is to the Cougs, although I like to see them do good.
Right.
I just don't want to see Cincinnati in this college football playoff. And Wade Smith, you were very disappointed in me yesterday when you were listening to the show. When you heard me say, I just don't want to see Cincinnati in the playoff. I'm not interested.
I was very disappointed because this was not the Landry Locker that I've come to know, the type of guy that would have an entire saturated take of nothing but blue blood, hot take and opinion. And it was ridiculous. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, Landry, I always thought of you as a blue collar guy.
I am.
But you're a blue blood. Like, you're a man of the people. I thought these things. You know, you're the type of person that we could talk about every fast food chain in the country, exactly. And you'll have the best four items on each one of the menus.
No doubt.
If you're a blue blood, blue bloods don't do fast food, right? They're just not that.
No.
You know, they want tea and crumpets and they want Grey Poupon. But you struck me as that type of guy when you started talking about how Cincinnati, like, oh, what do? They beat Notre Dame. And I want to see Notre Dame in there before I want to see Cincinnati. Notre Dame has got drilled every time they got into the college football playoff. Why do you want to see them again? Like, Cincinnati, the last time they played a big bowl game, which was last year, they lost to Georgia in a nail biter.
Mm-hmm.
If they played Georgia this year, they probably lose by 10, 14 points. But isn't that about everybody going to lose to Georgia by 10, 14 points at least? Like, that doesn't mean anything. They deserve, if they go undefeated, they deserve to be in there. And I was just very disappointed that you, of all people, a person that's been in doing radio in Houston for I don't know how many years now, that's had to listen and to endure and understand Houston Cougar fans that have to be damn near perfect to get to even be mentioned. Any mistakes, you're out of it. And you're rooting for the Group of Five team to not make it. I just, it doesn't strike
the
me as somebody.
Group of Five. Yeah.
There you go.
I don't think that these non-Group of Five teams represent the people. That's my thing. I don't think that Cincinnati represents the common folk. I think Cincinnati represents the opposite. I think Cincinnati represents false entitlement. We beat Notre Dame and then we played a bunch of cupcakes, so we deserve to be in over a team like, I don't know, Oklahoma State or a team like Notre Dame. I don't care about head-to-head. I don't look at Cincinnati. I don't look at the Boise States of the world and look at them as like blue-collar types of teams. I don't look at
Cincinnati as a blue-collar type of team.
I think entitlement. I think that Cincinnati feels entitled that they deserve a shot to be in the college football playoff. I just don't think they do.
I don't feel like you went to Texas Tech. I feel like that your influence of being a big-time Longhorn fan is what's influencing everything that's coming out of your mouth. And you know that entitlement that we talk about that the guys out there in Austin have, and that's the reason why they're not playing up to their abilities? That's what's oozing out of your take right now about Cincinnati or any other team that goes 11-0, 12-0, whatever it may be, and deserves to be in the college football playoff. I just don't.
Deserve is a subjective term.
I think it's deserved. They earned it. They earned it. If you go undefeated and you beat a top, what was Notre Dame when they beat them?
Nine.
Like, they were nine in the country. They beat a top team early in the year. They beat them.
But what makes their resume better than, say, Oklahoma State if Oklahoma State wins?
Who did Oklahoma State lose to?
Oklahoma State lost to Iowa State.
I rest my case. Iowa State. Iowa State, what are they, 8-3? 7-4? What's Iowa State's record?
Not good. Not as good as expected.
Exactly. So if you lose, you take yourself out of the running. That's always how it's been. So I don't understand how.
That's not how it's always been. I mean, there have been times where one-loss teams will get in over.
Yeah, if you're in the SEC. Like, that's it. And the SEC is the one conference where they kind of deserve that leeway because it's a murderer's row. Like, week in and week out, you're dealing with a lot of goons. It's just a bunch of goons on your schedule.
Big 12's a murderer's row compared to what Cincinnati goes through.
That's untrue. No, that's untrue. You are taking it a little bit too far there. Big 12?
Big 12 compared to the American. That's like
Texas.
That's a huge step up.
It's a big win. Texas.
Kansas is not in the conversation.
Kansas State.
Kansas State would have a chance in the American.
They'd have a chance to get like fourth.
They'd have a chance to get fourth. I think they'd have a good shot.
Come on now. The top of the American can compete with a lot of the teams, the majority of the teams in the big Power Five conferences.
Define compete.
Compete. If you put Cincinnati in the SEC East, then they're second place. If you put them in the SEC West, they're probably third place. Maybe second. Because in the West, I mean,
I think if you put like Florida Cincinnati's in the American, Florida might
Cincinnati's better than A&M. Cincinnati's better than Mississippi
Cincinnati's
State.
Cincinnati's better than who?
A&M. 100%. 100% better than A&M.
All right. On that note.
So you think Texas A&M is better than Cincinnati?
Yes.
Bro,
yes.
I don't think Texas A&M could beat Houston right now.
Yes.
I don't think they could.
Yes. I think
you think A&M is better than Houston today?
Yes.
I don't.
Yes.
I don't.
Absolutely.
The quarterback. 100%. Quarterback's important.
I do not care. I do think A&M. Those are some dogs right there.
The A&M, there's some dogs?
That defense is some dogs.
So
they got some monsters on
that team. The team that got beat by LSU, the team that got beat by Mississippi State.
The team that beat Alabama?
Yeah, they beat Alabama. So did Mississippi State. I mean, no, they didn't. They beat A&M after they beat Mississippi, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. It was like they're just taking turns beating each other. But what I'm saying is this. Houston can compete with A&M today.
Based on what?
What do you mean based on what?
Based on what? Houston lost to Tech, and then they righted the ship when they started playing American teams. Like, what are you basing Houston competing?
I'm basing it on the amount of skilled players that the A&M's gonna have to match up with and play. Like, I'm basing on if you got a healthy Houston team because their running backs are banged up, they could tote the note. Like, they can score on anybody. They can score on anybody. Can A&M score on anybody? That's the problem. A&M's offense is as potent as you need it to be.
I think they could score on
play.
Houston. I think they could score,
they could score on Houston, but are they going to score enough to beat them? It's going to be a good game. I think it would be a good game. And if Houston is
a
good
blowout.
No, I don't. I don't. Because you don't blow out teams if you're not scoring a bunch of points. A&M has shown that they're not going to put a lot of points on people. That's just not their brand of ball.
They're not going to put a lot of points on SEC squads.
I mean, you say what you want to say, but they don't look like a crisp offense when they go out there and play. They just don't. And it's not because the people they're playing against are so great. Like throwing and catching, like being an accurate passer of the football, that's important. There's guys in different teams around the league, around the conference, or around the country that do that at a higher clip and better. Like the quarterback for Cincinnati is much better than the quarterback for Texas A&M. That allows them to move the ball better. Like the tight ends for Cincinnati are better than the tight ends for Texas A&M. It's not like the offensive line for Cincinnati is slouches. Are you crazy? Most of the guys they got are from Ohio. That's a breeding ground for good offensive line play. Like, I'm not seeing your argument for keeping Cincinnati out, other than you just don't want to see Cincinnati play. But as far as being a good football team,
I don't think they're as good. And I don't think the better team always wins. I don't think they're that much better than Notre Dame, really. I think Notre Dame's body of work is better than Cincinnati's, and I think Oklahoma State's body of work is better than Cincinnati's, and I don't think the better team always wins.
I don't think A&M's
better than Alabama, and they beat them. Sometimes you got to look past that. So I don't think the better team always wins. I think you got to take everything into account.
But if you take everything into account and the team went undefeated, they should go. They should go.
Well, they can go.
They should go because there's a whole bunch of other teams that got one, two losses.
Don't pack a change of clothes. Like, just go.
Whoever the four seed is going to get blown out by Georgia, doesn't matter. Like, how about the money that is going to bring into the program of Cincinnati if they go to the college football playoff as opposed to giving that money to somebody else that's going to get blown out anyway that's already in a power conference? Like, what about that part?
Well, I'm not worried about the money. I'm worried about who the better team is. I think the teams are better, and I think they have better bodies of work. It's not about, like, oh, Cincinnati's small or anything like that. Like, there might be a time where there's a squad that I like where it shapes up perfectly. Hell, if Oklahoma State loses and then if Cincinnati wins and it's impressive and Alabama falls to Georgia, this isn't even a conversation.
Apparently, Cincinnati can't have an impressive win because the U of H isn't good, apparently, to you.
U of H is all right. I just don't think they're
all
good
right.
As A&M. I don't think they're as good as A&M. Right. I don't think they're as good as A&M.
I mean, what's A&M ranked right now?
I don't know what they're ranked. I just think A&M, if you switch the roles, we're talking about an undefeated squad. I think A&M runs the table with that schedule. I don't even think it's close.
I mean, that sounds good in theory. Sounds good in theory, but a team like Mississippi State beats Alabama. I mean, beats A&M,
A&M, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But Mississippi State got beat by Memphis.
Yeah.
That happened.
That's dots connecting. And I mean, and we can go to U of H.
But you have to connect dots if you're going to look at an entire schedule and say because they're in this conference, they'd go into that conference and dominate. You're doing the same thing.
Yeah, but I don't even think you really have to think that much to think that A&M is going to run the
table. That's the blue blood. That's the pretentiousness talking. That's out of your blood right now.
There is nothing pretentious about A&M being better than Houston.
Listen, I went to a school that was a mid-major or a non-Power 5 school. But I made a lot of money off of Power 5 players. Because when you played against them and you whooped them, this guy can actually play at the highest level.
Yeah.
You don't think Cincinnati looks at it that way? You don't think U of H looks at it that way, play in and play out? Like, Cincinnati's football team, they have a damn good football team. U of H has a damn good football team. If they played a game, it would be very competitive with a lot of SEC schools. It just plain and simple. Just because you're in one conference doesn't mean you're going to go to another conference and dominate it.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Coming up, though, speaking of Blue Blood, Brian Kelly, he has the internet going nuts. Is he being treated fairly? Is Brian Kelly in the same category as Travis Kelce and Jack Easterby? Next.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, Brian Kelly's being accused of having a fake Southern accent. Internet's going nuts. I really don't hear the fake accent that he's being alleged to have had. This seems like some internet pile-on where one person said it and now everyone's saying it, and he's just such an easy target. He's such an unlikable guy, naturally, that I think people are just taking every opportunity to jump on Brian Kelly. But I'll let you be the judge, Smitty, because you have not heard this yet. This was Brian Kelly at the LSU basketball game yesterday. This is him addressing the crowd. And tell me if you hear this alleged fake Southern accent that he's being accused of having.
Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started. And I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans, and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
I don't hear it.
So
I think he tripped over the word family, and people are just piling on BK.
This is what I hear, though. Remember I think we were on a show not too long ago, maybe a few months ago, maybe half a year ago, whatever it was, where I said that Easterby has the same kind of, the same type of diction and same type of flow as Joel Osteen. That sounded like the same type of flow as Joel Osteen. How do you say his name?
Osteen.
Joel Osteen.
Yes.
That's what he sounds like. That same type of diction of,
he's addressing the crowd.
Everybody doesn't talk like that when they're addressing the crowd. That is a way to endear yourself to
Did you hear a fake Southern accent?
There was a little bit of something there. There was a little bit of something.
You think Brian Kelly is changing the way he talks in front of Louisiana?
I need to hear how he talked before this, because I don't ever remember hearing him sound like the way I just heard him sound.
Okay. Let's just give an example. This is Jack Easterby talking about crossing certain types of people in New York. This is what Brian Kelly's being accused of, is going kind of Jack Easterby. And then the GOAT of multiple personalities. We'll hear from him as well. This is Jack Easterby talking about New York folk.
What you looking at? What are you looking at? I'm looking at the game. I mean, there's a game. What are you looking at? What's up, kid? What you looking at, son? Not your kid, not your son. Just here for the game, bro. Like, chill out, man. It ain't that serious, right?
All right. So that's what he's being accused of. I don't think it's that extreme.
It's definitely not that extreme, because that was extreme as it gets. That was pretty bad. We talked about that a while back. That was bad. But I do hear something there. There is a little bit of, he tries to add some Southern drawl, talking slower than he normally probably talks. I need to hear him talk, but I've never heard him and it sounded anything like that.
Who's the GOAT of talking different around different types of people? Because we discovered, this is one of our,
Like black people in general?
Just different types of people. Who's the GOAT?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
I'm just talking about black people in general.
Yeah.
Like, we're good at that. We have to be.
Well.
But if you want to be specific and pick one out, go ahead.
Travis Kelce.
100%.
when he's mic'd up.
He's not the GOAT, but he's up there. It's the other side of it. He identifies with the culture.
Travis Kelce mic'd up is the best. I love Travis Kelce, but this is one of my favorite discoveries. This is Travis Kelce talking to the white trainer in Kansas City.
Hey, can you call my mother for me from that phone right there? Can you call my mother?
I don't know if I can use it on the sideline.
And tell her that I don't want the macaroni and cheese with the regular noodles. I want the gnocchi. How do you say it? Gnocchi?
Ganache.
Gnocchi. Ganache. Ganache noodles.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Yeah, not the regular noodles, the ganache noodles.
I got you.
All right, so that's with the trainer. Here's Travis Kelce mic'd up. This is when he's on the field. And tell me that guy you just heard is this same guy.
Boom! Woo!
Jay Paul got hit there with the... Yeah, boy.
9-9, how you doing there, brother?
Keep working. We working.
Stop, y'all.
Listen, man, we're going to keep working. We're going to keep working. Hell, we keep doing this show, we agree.
Come on now, y'all. Come on now, y'all. Woo. What, you scared?
Hey, you know what? You making plays like that, you making money, son.
There you go. Travis Kelce.
Yes,
the GOAT.
I guess that was like 2 years ago we might have listened to that.
Yeah, 3.
And... when I first listened to it, I was like, all right, he's pretending to be something he's not.
No, he's himself.
No, listen to what I'm saying. He's pretending to be something he's not. And then when he's on the field, but then when he was talking on the sideline, he was actually being himself. The more I listen to it, the more it's actually, I think it's the opposite of that. I think the way he was talking to the person on the sideline, whoever the equipment guy, whoever's going to help him out, that was... him trying to talk proper on purpose, like going out of his way to speak properly.
Yeah.
Because he's been around the culture his entire life. He's AAU basketball kid. Like Travis Kelce, he's definitely, you know, invited to the barbecue.
Yeah, 100%. It's just funny to hear Brian Kelly getting accused of it. He is an awkward fit in Louisiana. I will say that Coach O seemed to fit in perfect. He's an odd fit in Louisiana.
I don't agree, because I look at Nick Saban and what he's done in Alabama. And Nick Saban is from West Virginia. A lot of his coaching styles before he got to Alabama were in the North. He was like, I think he was at like Toledo or something like that, or Kent State or something like that. And then he coached for the Browns, and he coached for up there in New York. Like, everything was up North,
yeah,
Midwest.
Brian
and
Kelly's
then
got a different
he coached
feel.
For Michigan State.
But like Brian Kelly's got a different feel.
To me,
Nick Saban strikes me as a guy who goes to a dive bar or something like that, and he's just going to go get him a beer or something like that, or he's going to get him a vodka tonic. Brian Kelly strikes me as a guy, as soon as he walks into a dive bar, he's going to have to get told no by the bartender at least twice. Do you have this? Do you have this? No, no. And then he finally works his way down to the Tito's. That's how Brian Kelly feels. I feel like he's just an awkward fit. I didn't hear the Southern accent,
Listen, if you listen to Nick Saban talk in a team meeting or just go over game plans, he sounds like a college professor.
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like a guy that is going to grab a beer and all that type of stuff. He's not that dude. He knows how to do that. He knows how to adapt to those situations and fit right in.
But I don't feel like Brian Kelly knows how to do that.
Good point.
It's Louisiana, bro. It's a lot different.
Just win, baby. That's all they care about. They're not. Listen, Ed Orgeron was the perfect, you know, Louisiana per se guy, but he wasn't even from there.
Yeah.
He just knew how to talk that talk.
Yeah.
So
that's his accent. I mean, a little crazy.
He's a little different.
Likes to sling it around. They actually had, I don't know how Figgy did this. Figgy's recovering from his wisdom teeth surgery.
That's painful.
But I guess Figgy, because he's always been known to do like some investigating and like find stuff.
Uh-huh.
He somehow was able to get a hold of Brian Kelly's playlist as he drove off from the press conference.
I got to hear this.
This was track one. This is why Figgy's the best in the world at what he do. I don't know how he pulled this off, but this was as Brian Kelly got in his whatever he drives, probably like some nice SUV with the leather seats and everything like that. I guess this was track one. People were doing their Spotify yesterday.
Uh-huh.
This was track one on Brian Kelly's playlist.
You ain't never hate. Swerve.
Now this is how you get down with Louisiana right here.
You gotta get his mind right. You gotta get his mind right. You gotta get a little boozy, a little wavy. Be like, you gotta do that.
God, man.
they wouldn't have
you probably pull up
drugs.
To the facility bumping this. You pull up to the press conference bumping this.
55 in the bourbon straight swerving. With a high yellow fine virgin and we swerving.
Hey.
Holler, I'm a fool boy, you heard me straight swerving.
Yeah.
A dude behind me in the excursion and he's swerving. Hit the parking lot by the club, big swerve. God, heroin's a hell of a drug. See, that's what happens when you go to Louisiana.
Right.
Webby was the man.
Right.
Heroin. You don't have to worry about heroin in
where?
South Bend. South Bend. South Bend. I wasn't going to say Indiana.
I was going to say Indiana. Wait a minute. Heroin everywhere.
South Bend.
Yeah, but you got to worry about heroin. Meth there. You got to worry about meth there. That's just it's worse. Meth is worse than heroin.
You know who I used to listen to this to all the time?
Stanford Rap.
No, hell no. Stanford doesn't know about this. Good God. Brian Kelly knows more about this than Stanford Route.
Throwing oops today, baby. You better defend yourself.
Ja'Kar Bray.
Your high school buddy that I went to college with.
Now
you really took it back home, man. I'm reminiscing. That's a good dude, man. One of your fellow Red Raiders, but he was first the Lake Highlands Wildcats. Shout out to my guy, Ja'Kar Bray.
Wade Smith in for John Lopez. It is Football Friday. There's a guy who left NRG somewhat recently that I find myself rooting for. I am rooting for this guy more than anyone, more than J.J. Watt, more than DeAndre Hopkins. The one guy that I'm rooting for the most that has left the new Texans culture. Let's find out if Wade Smith agrees with me on a Football Friday next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.